and the glory. If you didn't come here to give God the praise and the glory, you may be in the wrong place, because this is a praise zone. With that being said, let's stand and let's get ready to go before the Lord. Father God, thank you today for your goodness and your mercies. They are new every morning. This is another opportunity that you created for us to worship and praise your name. With that being said, we're going to give it to you. We're going to allow our voices to be heard and not silenced. We're going to raise our praise to another place. This is not religion for us, but this is relationship. God, move in this place and have your way. From the front to the back, from the sides, do it all, God. Meet us here again. This is a brand new day. It's made new. If you believe God is in this place, somebody shout, oh yeah. Somebody give God another praise in this place.
3, 2, 1.
I need you to put your hands together for me. This is a call and response song that simply says, "Hail Jesus, you're my King." Repeat after me. Hail Jesus, you're my King. Your life frees me to sing. I will praise you all my days. You're perfect in all your ways. Say it again. Hail Jesus, you're my King. Your life frees me to sing. I will praise you all my days. You're perfect in all your ways. Father, you deserve all praise. You deserve all the glory. You deserve the honor. And we lift our hands to you. We bless you in this place because you deserve it. You deserve it, God. Come on. God, we just love you. We worship you in this place. All the honor and all the glory goes to you. We just bless you. Just love your name. My hallelujah belongs to you. Let's sing, singers. My hallelujah belongs to you.
My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you.
Say it again. My hallelujah.
You deserve it.
Girl, you deserve it. Everybody from the front to the back, say it now.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Make it personal to the only one God.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Words would just say, oh, oh, oh. Put your voice and say, oh, oh, oh. Let's settle right there. Come on. One of the most important things to know is when you're saying, oh, many years ago they used to tell us that God can determine what your oh is. And I don't know about you today, but if you're in this place and you have a particular thing that you have before the Lord, and you want to say, God, I'm giving you my oh, no more words to describe what I'm in, but I'm going to still give you the glory. Still going to give you the praise, but I just don't have much to say. Just say, he knows what you mean. Uh-huh. When you're driving later this week and you can't remember all the words, simply open your mouth and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Just bask in that. For the last time, my lungs, so we part.
Let's just stay there. Go ahead, pour it out. Come on.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will crush these bones.
I want you to woo woo. Come on.
And all the earth and all the earth will shout.
Your worship up a little bit more. Lift it up.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. 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 Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. Worship, worship, worship. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Whoop, there it is. Jesus. Jesus. We release your name. Jesus. Jesus. God, forgive us. Sometimes it takes longer to get out of ourselves and to get into you. But Lord, our heart's passion is to be where you are. Lord, this morning, Father, this week has gone by and some of us came in with some really heavy baggage. Some of us just came in without even the mind of God. Some of us came in so hunger and thirsting after you. But Lord, no matter what condition we came in, Lord, I thank you that when we leave this place, we're going to be different people because we've been in your presence. Father, we never want to get to the place where we just, it's normal to be in your presence. Because Father, what an awesome privilege it is to be in the presence of truly the creator of the entire universe. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being with us. Lord, you said you look for those who will worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, our hearts are true. We want you. We want you, Jesus. So we've made a decision. God, nothing's going to distract us from getting more of Christ. Jesus, whatever we have to do, we will yield it. We will surrender it so we can have more of Jesus. Amen. God's healing a person here. It's in your left, your right leg on the inside. It's a very strange spot. I've never felt this spot on the knee before, but it's right here. Whatever that is, God's healing. It feels almost like a knife or like a nail being driven in it at times. Father, I just release healing into that portion of that person's knee in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that as you heal them, Lord, they're going to give you the glory that's due your name. Father, I really sense in my spirit, it's been a long time since they've been able to just get free and dance and shout. Lord, I thank you that as they step into that, that God, it will be completely broken out. Father, healed forever for the glory of God. There's also a person you're dealing with, your hamstring on your right leg, and God is healing your hamstring right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you that you care about every single need in our life. And that, Lord, there's nothing, God, that you don't care about. So today, in the name of Jesus, we just want you to know we love you. Amen. You know, there's something that everyone in this room has. It's called a testimony. Turn to someone and say, I got a testimony. The Bible says that we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. How many of you are blood-washed believers? How many have had your sins washed away? Man, I don't know about you, that's the victory in Christ, amen? And the other way to kick the devil in the teeth is to have a testimony. Jesus has done something in your life that has transitioned you, has changed you. So this is what we usually do. We usually say, go back and meet four or five people you don't know. And you know what most people do? They go and sit down. They don't meet anybody. So today what I want you to do is I want you to be able to share your testimony. I want you to go to somebody and just share one thing that Jesus has done to change your life. And I want you to share it with all of your heart and be excited because we're kicking the devil in the teeth every time we say it. Amen. Shout, I'm blood washed and I got a testimony. Amen. On your way back to your chair, go share your testimony with at least two or three people. Say, hey, this is what God has done for me. I need everybody in the back to stand up, please. Everybody in the back. Everybody in the back, stand up. Everybody in the back. There you go. Up on your feet. Very good. Go find somebody you don't know this morning and give them your testimony. I
somebody? Did you meet somebody you didn't know? Come on now, be friendly. Don't be a snob this morning. Share your testimony with them.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.
Men, one of the greatest things you can have is food and fellowship and Bible learning. So we want to let you know that Wednesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. at St. John's Mission Center, you'll be having men's ministry every single week. Join us. It's one of the best nights you'll ever have.
Dan, what are you doing in the trunk, bro?
Well, I'm getting ready for trunk or treat.
Oh.
Trunk or treat, Harvest Fest, October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m.
Huh. Oh, cool.
Make sure you're bringing candy.
All right. All right.
Pack up your trunk to feed the children. Okay?
Well, yeah.
So again, October 31st, Harvest Fest, trunk or treat. Make sure you're bringing candy for these kids. Fill your trunks, donate candy. See you at Harvest Fest.
Video.
Hey family, we've been talking a lot about Next Steps. This is our new program that we've put in place to help you grow. We just started with step number one at the beginning of this month with Rock Solid Faith. We're starting step two, October 25th, with the first class being marriage, 7 p.m. So make sure that you go online, histabernacle.com, register today for Next Steps, or you can come to the hub right here in the foyer and sign up today. So make sure Next Steps is your next step in growing, building, and
morning, everyone. We want to tell you about the three ways that you can give with a credit card. The first way is using your envelope. This is the brand new giving envelope here at His Tabernacle. If you have an old envelope, throw it away. Use this envelope, fill in the card information completely. We need all of it in order to process your card successfully. The second and easier way to give is using your smartphone. You can go on histabernacle.com, click on Give, and create an online giving profile if you haven't already done so. That way, you can save your card, and you will be able to log in each week and give your tithe in that way without having to fill out an envelope. The third, and by far the easiest way, is text to give. Simply text your amount using a dollar sign to the number on the screen. You'll receive a link back in which you click on it, create your giving profile that way, save your card, and then each week you can simply text your amount using the dollar sign to that number and it'll be all done. It's easy to give with a card at His Tabernacle. Thank you so much for your faithful giving.
Hello? There we go. We just want to make sure we remind you the clip that you saw that was a lot of fun on Trunk or Treat. We need every one of you to register your trunks with the children's ministry at the booth as you leave today. We would love to have everybody participate. It is such an excellent time of family and blessing the children. So decorate your trunks, fill them with candy, and if you're a little bit competitive, which I know none of us are, a bit competitive. There's a fabulous prize for the best trunk. And the awesome part is the children get to vote on the best trunk. So it's not rigged in any way. Make your trunk so that the children will want to vote on your trunk. So come out on October 31st, but make sure today before you leave, you register your trunk at the children's booth. Pastor Dan.
Amen. Welcome everybody this morning. How's family doing today? Y'all are sad. First service was louder than that. How is the family today? All right. You're getting up there. All right, listen, we want to welcome all our first-time guests of the house this morning. We're not going to embarrass you or call you out, but if you want to raise your hand up, if you're a first-time guest in the house this morning and maybe you didn't get a chance to meet our guest host in the foyer on your way in, please raise your hand. We got a gift for you. We'd like to get to you. You can put your hand back down over there. You're not a guest. Man, these peeps. All right, so listen, we have a gift for you. We got another one right up here. Awesome. Thank you so much. Can we give our guests a hand clap this morning? Thank you for joining us at His Tabernacle Family Church. We got another one over here. We got a couple hands still up. Look at that. Awesome. Thank you all. Right after the service, there's a connection card right inside that. We'd like to have you fill that out. We have a guest center right in the foyer right after service, if you can hand that in. And we also have a guest reception following the service. We also want to welcome all of the online campus live streamers to second service. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We pray and hope that you are blessed as well as we are here at, where are we? We're in church. We're on site. So blessings. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you enjoy the service. Joy.
Hallelujah. Wow, what a time of worship today. You know, one of the most amazing parts when we choose to give God glory, no matter what the circumstances, it makes an open show of the enemy. It makes a spectacle of him. So today we've made a spectacle of the enemy with our praise and worship. God is so awesome and so faithful. So in the house today, we call ourselves Christians, which means we're believers, right? How many of you out there are believers? And we're believers in the Word of God. The Word of God says that everything belongs to the Lord. And the tithe, 10%, is holy unto the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. We believe the Word of God when it says the tithe is holy to the Lord. And then I want to read Isaiah 1:19. It says, if you will only obey me, you will have plenty. So when we believe the word of God and we act on it by giving him our tithe, our 10%, he then rebukes the devourer on our behalf. He then blesses our basket, blesses our storehouse. He takes pleasure in our prosperity. That's what the word of God says. And we're believers. And we act out our belief by doing what God's word says. So if you're ready today, prepared with your tithe and offering, which is holy unto the Lord, let's stand to our feet and be believers with our finances. In Deuteronomy 28, if you'll repeat after me, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. Shout it out, I believe. Come on and bring your tithes and your offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on your giving button and give right along with us.
Keep saying his tabernacle. Now, I have to tell you that I don't hardly ever get up here, and I'm trying to start a little friendly competition with Pastor Dan because he comes up here in his bright pink shirt, and he gets the crowd all going and everything. So if I could just get a little shout for being in the pulpit, just a little bit. I think that was a little louder than his, but that's just me. So today is not just a normal Sunday. Today is an exciting day. As you can see, we have balloons and everything around. Today is Pastor Appreciation Sunday. So if we could just have the man and the woman of God come forward. All right, come on, give them a better shout. You see, Pastor doesn't really like the shouting and everything when he steps up, so I think it's got to be loud, you know? It's got to be appreciated. This is like years and years of payback right here. So today we just want to honor them and we want to thank them. You know, it's being a pastor, like I talked about first service, is not just being up here and giving a pretty little message on Sunday and then going and watching football and stuff like that. Being a pastor requires so much service, so much dedication, so much sacrifice. It's answering the call day and night, no matter what time it is. You know, it's dealing with all of us, with all the congregation, and working people through their problems and helping restore people and really being obedient to the vision that was placed on his heart so many years ago. And it's a big vision. We're standing right now in part of that vision. And to some people, this might look wow, this is a huge church. This is a huge building. But the vision itself is so much bigger than that. And it's a perpetual harvest that's happening here. And it's something that happens because of their obedience all those years ago. I'm a product of it, and the people that I can minister to are a product of it, and you all are a product of it. I'm not nervous. As long as you're over there and not messing with me, I'm okay. So this morning what we want to do is we want to just bless them with a monetary gift. And really, it's not just about the monetary gift. This is about honoring them and blessing them and thanking them for their service here and just letting them enjoy for that single moment what they have been able to accomplish for being obedient. And this is their day. It only happens once a year. That's it. It's not like a birthday or anything that you can celebrate all the time. So this morning, we'll pray real quick. Father, we just thank you for the man and woman of God that you've placed in this house. We thank you that we can stand here today and worship in a sanctuary that is just filled with love and with just your presence, Father. And that's all because they were obedient to what you placed on their heart. So we thank you for them. We pray for continued growth, continued blessing in their lives. And we pray, Father, that the vision will just continue to go forth. And Lord, we just pray a blessing over the gifts that we bring this morning. Because, Father, it is good seed. It is good seed, and we just pray that you will bless every bit of it. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's envelopes on your chairs, and if you don't have one, raise your hand up, and you can bring your offering forth, and there's cake in the foyer for after service.
You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it.
It's okay.
You deserve it.
My wife and I just want to say thank you very much for the privilege of being your pastor.
and for sowing into us. You know, you are a phenomenally giving church. And when we have guests come in, our guests always leave here abundantly blessed. In fact, you're talked about across the nation for being a tremendous giving church. And as your pastors, we just want to say thank you so much for sowing into our lives as well. We know that it is good ground, and we know that you'll be blessed. So let me pray a blessing back on you. Father, in the name of Jesus, all those who sowed, Lord, into our ministry, Lord, as individuals, we thank you, Father, as they have given and built up their local pastor, that, Father, their house will be blessed even at home beyond what they could imagine. Lord, we call forth that seed that they have planted to come back quickly. God, I ask for a quick harvest that they will see, Lord, the blessings of heaven in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I don't know about you. I've been excited these last few weeks. How many have been growing in Jesus? We want to talk about, we've been ministering on 3 weeks ago, we started with the message called Truth Bends Facts. How the truth of God, God's word, is more powerful than facts. Now, what's happened to many believers is that we've learned how to walk by more sight than by faith. But the Bible says we are to walk by faith and not by sight. There is a transition that happens to every single believer when we become born again. You see, before you were born again, it was normal. We lived in this natural world. We lived by the world's ways. We had no choice to. When a fact came down the path, that was just what you had to deal with. You made your bed, you had to lay in it. You had a problem, that's just the way it was. The doctor gave you a report, oh well, that's what you got to deal with. But something happened when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You didn't join a religion. You didn't join a church. The Bible says you then became part of the household of faith. When you gave your heart to Jesus, He changed you from the inside out. Behold, all things are passed away. All things have become new. Today, you're a brand new man and a brand new woman. You're blood washed. You're a child of the living God. And you stepped into something that is so powerful. You stepped into the kingdom. That is, you joined another country. A country that is greater, a country that is more powerful, a country that is driven, a country that is owned by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You didn't just join to say, well, I don't want to go to hell, but you stepped into the capabilities of living within the Constitution of the Word of God. You know, in America today, we have a Constitution. One thing that you'll find is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that were penned, they were penned by godly men. These were men that loved the Lord, that had God's word in primary purpose. But yet, you'll find even today, the Constitution constantly being barraged against. They're trying to tear it down. They're trying to replace it. They're trying to take out different articles. But you see, no matter what they're trying to do, what they're looking at is trying to break down the original intent of the founders of this country. And we have a founder. His name is God. And He gave us something that is more powerful than the Constitution of the United States. He gave us His word. And God's word is above. He said, I hold it even above my name. And God's word is more powerful. And as the believers, God's truth will bend facts. You see, when we step into being believers, everything changes. When we just go to church to become part of a religious organization, then you become a member of something. But when you become saved, blood washed by Jesus Christ, you step into the family of heaven. And now you have the rights of God. You have the ability to draw upon the covenant that Christ has cut. And that is that you and I today don't have what we call a Bible, but we have the Word of God, and God's Word is above all facts. I can't hear you say amen. Last week we ministered on how to protect the seed of truth. That when you plant the seed, the truth of God, when you're in a situation, when you plant that seed, that there is always going to be an onslaught. You know that people, some of you got to get rid of some of your friends. Say amen or oh my. Some of you got people in your life, they're so filled with doubt and unbelief that every time you get near them, they just start vomiting it on your faith. And you got to get rid of those people out of your life. Not only that, we talked about how fear, this spirit of fear will try to come on you. But you are more powerful. God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We also talked about the greatest weapon, and that is right between your ears. Turn to someone and say, right between my ears. The Word of God declares that we've got to take into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. The very thoughts of our mind are going to try to debilitate the faith that He is raising within our spirit. You see, every one of us has been given a measure of faith. That faith increases by learning and growing in the Word of God. That you and I can have great faith. That you and I can believe that no matter what is formed against us cannot prosper, because the Word of God is truth, and the truth will make me free. And no matter what weapon the devil brings across, I know this one thing, that I cannot fail. So many people call themselves survivors. I'm not a survivor. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, my Lord. You see, the devil's come to steal the seed. He's come to steal your faith. If the devil can steal your faith, then he's got everything else. You see, this morning I want to talk about something called fighting the good fight of faith. You see, we are not fighting. There are a lot of people out there fighting the wrong enemy. When trouble comes in your life, you've got to learn how to trouble your trouble and not become one that is a shadow boxer. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Now, I don't know about you, but the word fight there literally means that you have an enemy, you have an opponent, and you've got to fight. There must be pressure. There must be power release to overcome. Fight the good fight of, it didn't say of the devil, it said fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession. Everybody shout, I confessed. And have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says this. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith, shout, I've got faith. Shout, I've got faith. Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. You see, we have a bunch of believers that aren't believing. They're believing their facts. They're looking at their facts. They're looking at their troubles, and they're putting more faith in what they can see than the truth that the Word of God has declared. You see, when you're born again, you're not standing there by yourself, but God Himself, by His Spirit, is standing there with you. You've got the power of heaven dwelling inside of you, and there's nothing that you cannot accomplish. You see, we're not fighting a war that's down on this earth, but we are fighting the war to where we must remain in faith. The opposite of faith is unbelief. The children of Israel could not enter the promised land because of unbelief. We know that Jesus went to his hometown. He could do no mighty miracle except for one. Why? Because of unbelief. One of the greatest fights that you and I will ever have is learning how to destroy unbelief and doubt that tries to get into our heart and steal our faith. You see, this is the fight of faith. Shout it out loud. This is the fight of faith. You and I must keep the faith. The Bible declares in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, that faith is our victory. What do you mean, faith, Pastor? I mean trust. Knowing that God, what He said, is yea and amen. It is not faux. It is not fiction. It is not some lullaby. But if God said it, it is true. No matter what anybody would declare, no matter what the facts may say, God is true. And let every man be a liar. And if God says it's yours, it don't matter what anybody else says. It don't matter what the facts say. Stand on the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see, we shadow box so much. Real trouble comes into your life, and it's so easy to get your eyes off of the trouble to get them on God. You see, we have life that is real, and sometimes it gets real difficult. And when the difficulty comes in our life, we start staring at our problem. Whether you recognize it or not, what you stare at is ultimately what you're going to hit. We shoot archery, and one of the types of archery shoot is called recurve. And it's you pick up a bow, and there's no sights on it. Where you look is where the arrow goes. It's like throwing a baseball. Where you look is where the ball goes. My son, I was teaching him how to ride motorcycle, and I forgot to tell him one key. Where you look is where you go. And so he T-boned a car. That's not good, by the way. Thank the Lord, that was a miracle. He didn't even get a scratch on him. But where you look is where you go. So the issue is this. So many of us are looking at our problems and we're allowing them to gain access over and over to God. We're allowing them to become bigger than the truth. And so what happens is this, is now you're overwhelmed by a fact, but not by the truth. Therefore, you're putting more faith in something that's foe, that will go, that will have an ending, rather than one who never has an ending, who always says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that gives us the power and authority over every problem. My God is more powerful than any fact that you will face on this planet. And we've got to get our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we've got to fix our eyes on the master. God's word is above my facts. Shout it out loud with me. God's word is above my facts. Come on, shout it out loud. God's word is above my facts. So many of us battle the wrong things. Well, I'm fighting the devil. Well, you can fight the devil all you want, but I got great news for you. The Bible says the devil's completely defeated. That you and I don't need to fight the devil. Jesus fought the devil. The Bible calls us more than conquerors, not conquerors. The conqueror is one who's got to go fight the battle. The one who's more than a conqueror is the one who gets to enjoy what somebody else already fought for. You're sitting here because men and women gave their lives in World War I and World War II. They fought for the freedom that you and I are possessing to where we can sit in the house of God. You didn't have to fight, but there are people that gave their lives. Why? Because they were conquering. But you and I are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. I've got news for you. You don't need to fight the devil. The devil's already defeated. Luke chapter 10 verse 19 says this, look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Jesus gave it to you. He gave you power over Satan. Satan himself, I'm talking the actual Satan himself, is more concerned about you than you should ever be about him. He knows the authority that you've been granted. He knows the power that you walk in. You see, Jesus gave us all authority over the power of the devil. You and I are not fighting the devil. He's already completely defeated. The Bible declares in the book of Colossians chapter 2 that Jesus made an open show of him. That means he put him to shame publicly in the spirit realm. You see, that's where you and I can stand within a truth. And this is the truth that will make us free. We don't have to fight the devil. Jesus already did. And we live in the victory. Can I hear an amen? The other battle that so many people get involved with is the battle over sin. The moment you got saved, something happened in your life. You went from old nature to new nature. You went from the nature, according to Ephesians chapter 2, of your father, the devil, to the nature of God, or divine nature, in 1 Peter chapter 1. You see, now that you've been born again, washed by the blood of Jesus, your old nature of being a sinful person is broken. I've had people tell me all the time, oh, pastor, what I'm fighting for is, you know, the facts that I struggle with is I struggle with this sin, or I struggle with that sin. I struggle with this problem with my sinful life. And God is saying, what do you mean you struggle with it? You see, because Jesus already paid the price. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says this, we know that our sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. Shout, sin has lost its power. Sin has lost its power in your life, and we are no longer slaves to sin. You see, today, no matter, I've got some, you might have a fact that says, oh, I'm struggling with this sin, but I got a truth that that sin is struggling with you. And it's time for you to step into the promises of God and break the power in the back of that lie, because you are not weak, but you are strong. And God says that no sin has you in captivity, no matter what addiction you might struggle with, no matter what sin problem that nobody else knows, this one truth, that sin's back has been broken, and you stand in absolute victory in the name of Jesus. You see, when we understand these things, we don't have to shadow box. We can fight the fight of faith instead of fighting all these other things that take away our energy. The other thing you don't have to fight is sickness. Jesus didn't only come to die on a cross that your sins will be forgiven, but he came and died on a cross so that your sicknesses will be gone. You cannot separate the blood and the body. Today, as easy as it is to be saved, is as easy as it is to be healed. But the problem is the church hasn't been preaching the whole gospel. We've been preaching part of the gospel. That sickness might come from God. That's a lie from hell. And I don't care what fact the doctor tells you. They're doing their job by giving you a diagnosis. But I want you to know the fact of the diagnosis is never stronger than the truth of the word of God, that by his stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago on the cross of Christ. You are not some weak but fable individual, but you are a person of power, a person of strength, a person of divine health. Can I hear an amen? You don't have to fight finances. You know, this is one thing we find in the body of Christ. Actually, more in the second service than we do in the first service. More people in the second service are struggling financially than those in the first service. It's amazing when you see it and when you recognize it. So many people are hand to fist. Listen, there's no need to fight finances unless you're the God over your own money. You see, when you have yourself are not walking in obedience of being a tither and a seeder, then when trouble comes your way, the only God you have to go to is you. But today, if you're a tither, I've got great news for you. You don't have to fight finances. It does not matter what the economy declares. You see, so many people say, well, you know, the economy of Elmira, the economy of New York State, the economy of the United States of America. But I don't care what it is. This one thing is for sure, that we participate with the economy of God and with God in your finances. God can make something into what was not. And, you know, I always look at that, the story about the woman who was just getting ready to die. And the prophet said, make me a cake. She said, if I make this cake for you, my boy and I got nothing to live on. In fact, you know what? If I make this cake for you, you're going to live and we're going to die. And he says, make that cake for me, woman. If you make that cake, God will bless you. And she made that cake and she never ran out of oil the rest of her life. Why? Because you cannot outgive God. Because when God is the God of your finances, then the word of God is absolutely true. And you can live in truth and not live in facts. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11. God says this, I will rebuke the devourer for you. Oh, I don't know about you. That makes me happy. I don't have to rebuke the devourer. He'll do it for me. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear fruit. And thus says the Lord, today you and I can know we're not fighting the devil. We're not fighting our sin. We're not fighting our sickness. We're not fighting our finances. We're not even fighting our family. The Bible makes a declaration in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Hallelujah. I know some of you are fighting your children to get born again. You're fighting your husband, your wife to get saved. And I want you to know that if you just pray and have faith in God, you don't have any troubles. Have faith in God. God loves your family more than you love them. God will reach them quick as you pray and as you have faith in what Jesus will do in their lives. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Only believe. For if God can save you, he can save anybody. Can I hear an amen? You are not fighting people. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those people that you seem to fight all the time, I hate my job because of the people at work. I have a problem. My boss hates me. I want you to know that that's not your problem. Those might be facts that they might not like you, but you aren't fighting them. The Bible declares that you have victory in Jesus' name. The Bible declares that even though that you are not fighting flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, I've got good news for you. Even though you're fighting principalities and powers, you've already won. So there's no real battle that you and I have on this planet except for one. Fighting the good fight of faith. That means getting ourselves to the position of believing God's word more than the facts. That means if God said it, it is yea and amen. It is not a fictitious fairy tale that we read as we open this little black book and
and hopefully it works for us. We don't rub it like a little charm. It is not some little thing that we say, oh, hocus pocus on. But this is God breathed word. This is what God has said. And if God has said it, it is fact. It is truth. It is supernatural. It is super powerful. And it will overcome and overdo anything that this world has to come against you with. See, so many of us just don't trust the truth. You know, you've heard me push and I push and I push and I push. Rock solid faith, rock solid faith. Step one, step one, step one. Next step, step one. Why do we push it so much? Well, you just want more people in church. For goodness sakes, if I wanted to build a big church, I wouldn't have come to the Northeast. It's a fact. I'd be down south, we'd already have a church of 5,000. We're here because God has sent us here because the truth needs to be spoken here. And the truth is not some religious story. The truth is not some religious doctrine. The truth is the Word of God. And when you know the Word of God, you have a foundation. For the foundation is in Christ. Then the weapon formed against you shall prosper. And when it gets tough, when the facts look bigger, I want you to know that you'll have a foundation to stand upon and say, the truth of the Word is more supernatural than the facts I'm staring at. We push rock solid faith because I know if you get in it, you're going to get a foundation in your walk with Jesus. It's a horrible thing to get to the threshold of a problem that is bigger than you can handle and you got no foundation to stand on. That now you got to start building something. Man, don't start building when you need it. Have it already built so that you can stand on it when the winds blow. You see, that's wisdom. Now, can you imagine going to a doctor? You need brain surgery. You go in and the doctor says, hey, I'm excited that you're here. And you're saying, boy, that's kind of messed up just saying that in and of itself. And you said, well, you know, why are you excited? He said, well, you're my first patient. I'm going to start medical school next week. How many of you go, yes! He's going to be the best. Isn't that crazy? Yet we do it all the time in our walks with God. Before the trouble comes, we do no preparation. We don't go to school. We don't get prepared in the spirit. We don't prepare ourselves with the truth so that when hell starts licking our toes, we got what? Well, we're going to try it out next week. This is why so many believers stop believing. It's not that God isn't faithful. It's not that God's word isn't true. It's not that God's word isn't able. It's not that God's word isn't supernatural. But because there's no foundation, when the trouble comes, you've got no foundation to stand on. So therefore, the only thing you can live in is facts. And the facts are negative. But God's word is truth and positive. We've got to stand upon the word of God and declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I will stay within the truth. I will fight the good fight of faith. No matter what the cost, I will prepare myself. Because God is able to work in my life. Now you know that you have stepped out of faith and into worry, anxiety, and fear when you lose peace. The moment you lose your peace, you know that you are now trying to handle the fact with your power. The moment fear comes on you, for the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The moment that peace is gone, the Bible declares in Colossians chapter 2, that the peace of God rules our heart. The word rule there means governor. You see, when the governor has been taken off, then there's only one thing that you can do. There is no holds barred and you're going to crash. But God is saying, this peace that I place within you, this peace that I put within your heart, this peace, the peace of God, for the Bible declares that according to Galatians chapter 5, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. You see, God's spirit lives within you. The creator of the universe, the one who brooded over the earth at creation, dwells inside of you. The truth lives inside of you. And when we live within the truth, then our peace cannot be lost. Oh, come on now, shout amen. Amen. I refuse to preach to myself. I've already preached this once. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says this, I will keep you in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You see, when we stop fixing our eyes on Jesus, when we put our eyes on the facts, then the truth loses its power. Then the truth starts diminishing. Our faith starts to slip away. And we start putting more fact or more faith in a fact than we do the truth of the Word of God. We have got to shake ourselves. Why? Because this is a real world with real trouble. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. So what's the difference between an unbeliever and a believer? It's the foundation that we have. It's the constitution that we live within. It's the facts that God said that if I'm for you, there's no weapon that can destroy you. When God is on your side, then there's nothing that can take you from the love of God. When you and I stay within the constitution, the truth will always supersede the facts. But if you don't know it, then the only thing you have to live in is facts. You start having marital problems, you look at it, and everything seems to collapse around you. But when you know the truth, you can call those things which are not as though they already are. You can ask God's Holy Ghost to be released in your marriage. You can ask God's Spirit to break down. I have people coming up and grabbing the handkerchiefs. According to Acts chapter 19, the anointing is literal, tangible, touchable, transferable. And they take it and they put it in the bed of their loved one. Why do they do that? Because they know that the anointing will break every yoke of bondage. God's Spirit will get into their life and God can save their marriage. God can save them from their sin. You see, it's time to believe that no matter what trouble comes your way, no matter how big the fact might be, no matter how big the monster under the bed might be, by God's truth, it's so supernatural. It will kill every giant. There's not one weapon that will be able to be strong enough to withhold itself against God. The truth will make you free. So many of us just live so factual. And you know, honestly, our faith is theory until tested. But if you have no foundation, you don't even have theory. If you're not preparing yourself, if you're not building your faith, if you're not structuring God's word in your life as truth, then all theory goes out the door the moment that the bad news comes from the doctor. God, where are you? And God said, what do you mean, where am I? 2,000 years ago, I accomplished it on Calvary's tree. You're asking me to heal you now, but I already healed you 2,000 years ago. It's time for you to learn how to appropriate what I've already paid for. Don't beg me for something that's already yours. Oh, pastor, I lost my job. Wow, man, God's going to give you a better job. Well, you just don't know how bad the monies are. Are you a tither? No. Then I said it's going to get worse. Oh, and I don't mind telling you either. Oh, but pastor, I am a tither. I said, oh, hang on now. God's going to provide for you supernaturally. Whether somebody shows up like he did one day at our door, we ran out of diapers. We ran out of food with two young children. Actually, we had three young children in diapers. And I remember one day a man knocked on the door of that house, and he had in his hand two bags of groceries with the right size diapers, and glory to be to God, he had steak. Nobody knew, but God woke him up and told him, take care of that. I remember T.L. Osborne when he crossed over into Africa. He didn't even have money to get off the boat, but God already had somebody with money waiting on the other side, all the way in Africa. My God is so powerful, he can speak to somebody in Africa for your need. And when he got off the boat, there was somebody to pay his tariffs so he could get off the boat with his whole family, and he still had no place to live. So guess what God did? God had another person show up and said, what's your name? He said, well, my name is T.L. Osborne. She said, how many children you got? He named the amount of children. She says, God already prepared a house for you. Follow me. I've got you all taken care of. You see, I don't care what your financial problems are. Those might be facts. But when you're a tither and a seeder, the truth will always make you free. And God is always able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. There's nothing that the enemy can contrive that you can be destroyed by unless you put more faith in a fact than you do in the truth. You got to build yourself up. You got to get an infusion. We got to get away from this United States gospel crap.
Well, I went to church 1 month ago.
tracking people in this church. You're gone sometimes 3 weeks a month. Can't understand why you fall when hell starts licking your toes. Now, I know there are people that work. That's not what I'm talking about. Talk about people lay in bed and watch me on live stream. I'm being nice. Bible says that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. How hungry are you for God? How hungry are you for his word? How passionate are you to know him? How passionate are you to learn about him? You see, the more you know him, the more you will trust him. The more you will trust him, the more you'll take the truth of the word of God, the Constitution, and say, this is not just a theory in my life, but I know it's true. And when hell starts coming down, when problems start coming your way, you don't stand on nothing. You stand on something. You grab a hold of the word of God, and you start declaring the truth, and you speak to that fact and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to bend, fact, because God's word is stronger than you are. I refuse to be overcome by this world. I refuse to become a servant of this world. I refuse to become a survivor of this world. I am more than a conqueror. This is who you are. That's truth. That's truth.
Well, you know, Pastor, I'm just trying to make it to glory.
That's a lie! Man, it's time to put your shoulders back and your head up and start walking as you are, the child of the living God. It's time for you to grab a hold of the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. It's time to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. It's time to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of Christ. It's time to pick up the sword of the Spirit that's double-edged. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing the soul and spirit and the bone and the marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And recognize that you are no survivor, but you are that overcomer, that no weapon formed against you. I don't care what the devil and the facts would say, that you can stand firm in the word of God, that you can stand firm in the truth, and know that you can keep that peace even in the middle of the storm. While Jesus was sleeping in the boat, the disciples were in fear, but Jesus got up and said, oh ye of little faith. You see, I want the faith of God, that no matter what comes against me, I'll stand upon the truth, and the truth will make me free. This is not some religious story. This is the word of God. Woo! This is the word of God. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. When you know God's word, you're not some weak, wimpish little boy or girl, but you are that soldier of the Most High God, and you're standing in the strength. And that's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, and that no matter what comes, you will stand in truth. When you stand in truth, you will have victory. For God cannot lie. I said, God cannot lie. Whew. Holy Ghost. God cannot lie. But when you don't know truth, the only thing you got is facts. You can't understand why you stumble, wobble, and wonder. God is saying, I want to put a backbone inside of you. And that backbone is not your words. That backbone is the truth. That no matter what this world would try to bring against you, no matter what fact would come across your desk, no matter what trouble or trial comes in your life, you'll have the truth, the word of God, the Constitution to stand on. And know that I cannot fail. For if God is for me, who can be against me? So the question is this, really. Are you fighting the good fight of faith or just in survival mode? Are you laying your foundation? Do you know the word of God? I'm not talking a few little click verses.
For God so loved the world. I saw it at a football stadium once.
I'm talking, do you know the word of God? Then all of a sudden, when a bad report comes in one of those arenas, you'll be able to not cower. You'll be able to arrest your emotions, arrest your thoughts, and look that devil in the eye and say this: I know the truth, and I know the truth has made me free. I am not being justified. I am not being condemned by your declaration, but I declare the word of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord, for God's word is above all situations. You see, you can't fail. Victory is yours. I'm not saying there's not a battle. It's called the good fight of faith. I'm not saying the enemy's not going to come and try to sow doubt, sow unbelief, sow lack of peace, and sow fear. I'm not saying he's not going to come try to do that. But when you know the truth, you can thwart off those things. You have the shield of faith to ward off every fiery dart of the enemy. But the moment you start confessing the fact above the truth, you actually cancel God's word and tell him he's a liar. Christians don't like to hear that one.
Well, I liked it better when you were shouting.
I just want to be honest with you. Our success individually and our success corporately does not depend on God. It's all done. Everything that Jesus was going to do is done. Every victory he was ever going to win, he already did. There's blood to wash your sin away. There's body to heal your body. There's authority to kick the devil in the teeth. There's truths and promises to make sure that you're going to be taken care of in every other facet of your life. Jesus appropriated it on the cross. God is doing no more. He's done it. I think Jesus said it this way: it is finished. So the issue is our faith. Do you believe the truth above your facts? Do you believe that your facts are more powerful than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you believe that God's word is weak, simple, and saturated with a bunch of religious garb? Or do you declare it for what it is? God's word is yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all come to fruition. That God is true and not a liar. And that this truth will make you free. This is no man's choice but yours. And every one of us will come to some deciding factor, whether it be somebody taunting your faith, whether it be a physical situation in your life, whether it be a financial distress, whether it be a family member turning on you, whether it be a family member that has walked away or a friend that is now a foe. The one thing I know for sure is that if God is on your side and you lay hold of the truth, the word of God, that it doesn't matter. You don't have to lose your peace. You don't have to lose your victory. You don't have to whine. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to go on anxiety pills. But God, the one who said I am, that I am, will be with you. He is the Prince of Peace, the power, the supernatural, the one who can take the facts and bend it with truth. Today I challenge you to know truth. You got to know truth. All of our excuses have to be thrown away. Pastor, I'm too busy. You're too busy then for God, then you're too busy. I don't got time. Oh. Can you imagine if your child looked at you at 5 years old and said, I don't got time for school? You'd look at that child and say, excuse me? School? No, you don't understand, Mom. I'm too busy for school. It's just the way it is, and whether you like it or not, that's the way it's going to be. So they get to school and they run away every single day. After a while, they're going to be put in juvenile. They're going to be taken out of that home. But yet in the house of God, we don't give a flying leap. When the man of God says that you need to learn, you need to learn. When the man of God says you need to be in a class, you need to be in a class. Well, that's dictatorial. Really? It's parenting. Not that the parent wants to control the child, but the parent wants the child to be greater than they are. But you can't be greater without 1 + 1 = 2. You can't be greater than without God on your side. You know you can win. It's time to recognize, stop playing games in the spirit. We got to look at those things which are not seen because they're more real than the things which are seen. For Jesus is coming back soon, and the cracking of the eastern sky with the trumpet of God will come, and those that are not right will be lost. And it's time to say, God, you sent me on this planet to redeem. You've sent me on this planet to restore. You've sent me on this planet to speak. You've sent me on this planet to declare the word of the Lord. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. But you can't do that yourself if you can't get stable. You see, the word plus faith equals miracles. You gotta be in the word. I got convicted this last week. I spent a lot of time with Jesus. I don't watch a lot of television. I like the Alaskan shows, Duck Dynasty. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you're spending too much time watching your Duck Dynasty and not enough time listening to my word. And I said, I get up every morning around 5 a.m., Jesus. I spend a lot of time with you. And he said, you're putting more in that than you are me. Transition. So we've been now in the evenings getting on YouTube and watching William Branham, A.A. Allen, R.W. Shambach, watching all the old-time revivalists preaching the word, T.L. Osborne. We were watching T.L. Osborne last night. And after about an hour, hour and a half of that, I can watch my old Alaskan show. Will they really ever get in the mine? I don't know. But the one thing is for sure, when hell starts licking my toes, it's not going to be theory, it's going to be fact. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, I need you to understand that I'm being gracious because I can preach this message for 3 hours. I just don't want anybody falling out of the third floor story and dying, so we have to raise them up. There are people in this room that don't know Christ. You don't know Jesus. You might have a form of godliness, but you've denied the power thereof. There is a sin between you and Christ, which means if you died or he came back before this church service was over, you'd be lost. You once served God with all of your heart, and now it takes everything in you just to pick up the Bible. You're backslidden. God is saying, I want to restore you this morning, and not just where you were, but I want to take you beyond. I not only want to save you from sin, I want to put a brand new heart in you. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, or you're in a backslidden condition, and you want to get right with God, man, you got to. You know what I can't understand? I can't understand how these people make it when they get a bad report and they don't have God. Well, that's why drinking's so big. That's why drug addiction. You know, I have found more people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s that are smoking weed than I've ever thought would even be possible. And they're smoking weed because they're trying to get help. They're trying to get peace. Looking you're the wrong way, man. You can smoke that thing. It just costs you some money. And it's going to wear off. You got to smoke it again. You're going to need something bigger. This morning, if you do not know Christ, you're in a backslidden condition, you want to get right, I want you to raise your hand up right now. Thank you. In the back, I see your hand. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Thank you. You can put it right back down. Thank you, sir. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else? I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Oh, this is your day. Watch what God's going to do in your life. Ooh.
I'm not talking, well, you can't join this church. What you're going to have is supernatural change. I'm going to count down from five. And if you haven't raised your hand up yet, you better get it up. Five, four, three. Come on, get your hand up. Two. Last call. Thank you. That's all right. Let the little children come. Last call and one. Let's all stand to our feet. Again, thank you. My wife and I thank you for the privilege of being able to preach the gospel to you. This is not, it's not church for us. It's God's kingdom. Today, if you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to have the prayer team come around the front of the altar. Quickly, please. If you raise your hand for salvation to get right with the Lord, I'm going to ask you to be brave. Grab the person next to you and come meet me right here, right now. Come right out of your chair. Come on, give them a hand clap this morning as they come. Congratulate them. We've all had to come the same way. If you raise your hand, come right out of your chair. Come on, brother.